Good morning. God brought us to you this morning that we could glorify Him and to witness of His works and demonstrate and testify that God is alive. Every person has his story. I have my story. My parents were military people, and they ended up in Desna. Desna is a military base. It was one of the largest military bases in the Soviet Union. My parents lived there. I was born there. And my parents worked long hours. I was left to myself. I spent a lot of time on the streets. When my parents had time off, they spent that time with their friends, drinking and partying. I was on the streets. The streets became my teacher. And they taught me a lot of sin. Taught me to smoke, drink, rob, fight, narcotics, and basically the streets made a criminal out of me. And so I was a criminal. In the 11th grade, I tried narcotics, began to inject narcotics. I didn't understand what grief it would bring into my life and how much evil would come from it. Time went by. I was on the streets in a lot of sin. One day I was partying with my friends, and we heard that they were giving out free books. It was in the officers' club. We thought, free books? We'd like that. So we went there. When we got there, one man noticed us, and he could tell that we were high on drugs. And he came up to us, and he had a Bible. You know, the free books we came to get, they were Bibles. And we thought, free? Well, we'd like that. And so he knew we were on drugs. And he began to tell us about God. We thought, just give us our free book and let us go. And he talked quite a bit. We didn't listen at all or don't even remember anything, except for one thing he said. He said, if you want to quit using drugs, the devil won't let you easily go. And so we left. But from that moment, God began to work on my heart. I began to think about my life. And I could see how drugs were destroying my life. I had problems everywhere. My health, in my family, with the authorities, with the police. And God was working on my heart. And one time, my home was searched. I knew that if you got a knock on your door early in the morning, it was not your friends. So there's a knock early in the morning. My mom opens the door, the police came in. And they began to search our home. They brought our neighbors in as witnesses. And they found in our home a lot of narcotics and stolen merchandise. And so they arrest me and taking me away. And my neighbors began to defend me, telling the police, hey, you're making a mistake. You know, Iger's a good guy. And the police said, yeah, we know your good friend very well. We arrest him almost every week. Time went by. And one day I was parting with my friend Oleg. And I said to him with a broken heart, Oleg, I have this feeling that I'll never be able in my life to get off of drugs. He said, do you remember what that man said, that Christian? Oh, yeah, he said, I remember. And I began to think deeper about my life. And what I saw was not a good picture. I saw only two possibilities. One was prison. The other was death. I didn't want to die. I wasn't wanting to go to prison. How could I change? What to do? But then one day something happened. When I was released by the police, I was home in my t-shirt. I had tattoos, of course, all over. There's a knock at the door. I opened the door. My neighbor's there. She said, Igor, come into my house. I want to talk to you. I thought, oh, man, she wants to lecture me. How did you end up like this? I went into the home. She began to tell me about God. Now, you remember, this was a communist system, and this is a military base. There weren't Christians there. And there she is talking to me about God. I thought, she's out of her mind. I don't even remember what she said. But at one point she turned on some Christian music. I remember that song. It was, Lord, let me get closer to you so I could bow before you and kiss your feet. All of a sudden, just I began to get chills and the hair began to rise on my body from head to toe. Tears started to come out of my eyes. I turned away, trying to wipe the tears away. I thought, here I am, this criminal bandit, and I'm crying in front of a lady. Well, I couldn't understand. I ran out of there in shock. I told my friends what happened. And they said, just have nothing to do with that woman. She's totally out of her mind. And so I began to avoid her. If I saw her on the street, I would wait till she passed before I went up by. I came home. And she says, you know, Chocha Hala, my neighbor, brought you some books. I hope it is a Bible. I said, Mom, don't take anything from her. Time went by. And my life was going down, down, worse. And one night at 2:30 in the morning, I'm coming home totally drunk. And at that hour, my neighbor is sweeping the vestibule in our apartment building. I thought, that's pretty strange. And I realize now that the Lord woke her up and put her there. She said, Igor, how are things going for you? I said, everything's terrible. She said, why don't you come to our church service? You might like it. I was very drunk. So I said, I'll come. She said, do you promise? Well, yeah, I promise. Are you sure that you promise? I'm sure, I promise. So I had to go. When I went there, it was in an apartment. And people were sitting there. And they were so friendly to me, inviting me to sit here or sit there. I thought, what in the world do they want from me? And there I heard the testimony of a man, how God changed his life. And his life was very similar to mine. And I thought, wow, is he ever fortunate? And I was thinking that. And he turned to me. He said, Igor, God is offering you a new life today. You have the right to accept it or reject it. It's your choice. God will not force you. Everybody's looking at me. I said, I want a new life. He said, let's pray. I said, I've never prayed. He said, not a problem. Repeat after me. I remember that prayer as if it was yesterday. God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Change my life. And amen. And it was like the lights came on. I opened my eyes. Everyone's congratulating me. And they're so happy. And I felt like I'd known them 1,000 years. And then when I left, I was a completely different person. I began to tell my friends what happened. What do you think they said? They said, Igor has lost his mind. Time went by. I had seen two paths. Death or prison. But God showed me a third path to follow after him. And now more than 20 years, I'm still following after the Lord. God gave me a new life. He entrusted me with the ministry. He blessed me with a family. I have a wonderful wife, 2 children, and we serve God together. My family. Pastor asked me if I'm missing my family. I do miss them, but more than that, I worry for them because they're in danger. Desna is a military base. And we've been attacked 30 times by airplanes, rockets. And so we're always in danger. Desna is north of Kyiv, close to Belarus and Russia. And it was through us that the Russians wanted to attack Kyiv. And they were unable to take Kyiv. But they brought a lot of destruction. To tell you how awful war is, it's actually impossible to describe. It's just awful. Fear, terror. You know, pastors have a lot of work. Because people are very, very needy. And now, many people come to me, they just want to unload their pain. And you know, war has produced pain in all of us. And here's how it started with my family. 4:30 in the morning, there's a phone call. My wife says, Igor, some lady is calling for you. I picked up the phone. And I hear this screaming. War! They're bombing us! Everything's on fire! I said, what war? Who's bombing? What's happening? I couldn't understand who was calling me. And then in the background, I heard my mother's voice. And my nephew crying. And then I realized the lady screaming was my sister. I didn't even recognize her voice. They're in Kharkov. On the 13th floor of an apartment building. And out their window, they can see the whole city being bombed, fires everywhere. She says, Igor, what should we do? I said, well, let me think about it. I said, let's pray. I put down the phone. My wife comes in. She said, it started. The war has started. I said, don't worry, it won't last long. She said, Igor, it's not going to be over soon. I said there would be war. And you know, my wife is in the military. And she was saying that there would be war. I didn't want to believe it. And so I just wanted to believe that it would end quickly. She said, no. I've been called up. I need to leave. We don't know when we'll see each other again. And so she's gathering her things to report to duty. And I realize we might not see each other again. And I wanted to cry. But I needed to be strong. I said to her, Sasha, everything will be fine. I love you. She said, nothing's going to be okay. Take care of the kids. And so I wake up the children. I said, hurry up, get ready. We may have to leave. The war has begun. I look in their eyes. And I see just total terror in their eyes. And they were somehow understood the reality of war. I began to call the members of my church. But people are sleeping at that hour. Their phones are turned off. I go out on the street. People are running and driving or everywhere. It's total panic. We can hear fighting. We were wondering what to do. And we could see in the news how the Russians army was approaching us. And we knew that we would be bombed. And so my men and us and myself decided to evacuate our children, our wives and children, to a place 20 kilometers away. And so we took them there, 20 people. And the brothers and I stayed in Desna. Somehow we needed to take care of our wives and children. And food disappeared from the shelves in the stores. We paid people to wait in line in the stores starting at 6 a.m. and they wouldn't get in until noon. And there was very little to buy. It was impossible to buy enough food to feed those people. So I went myself to the store. Huge supermarket. the only thing that I could see at first was some white chocolate and two packages of coffee. And I bought all that. I bring those to where our women and children had been evacuated. I said, and I gave it to them. And it's, oh, Pastor, you're so good to us. Yeah. I said, well, yeah, so there wasn't anything else to buy. And we knew that hard times were ahead. And we decided to evacuate as many people as we could to western Ukraine. It took us 3 days to get from where we were to, usually 6-hour drive. And there was fighting and burning of buildings and all kinds of warfare going around as we drove. And churches helped one another. And we saw the beauty of Christ's church. How during such a difficult time, how they helped people. It was such a wonderful testimony. And so we got to a safer area in the west. And I made a decision to return to Desna. I didn't want to. I understood that it's dangerous there. And it was difficult. And I prayed. And God led me to return to minister to people. This is a bombing in our city. He had a lot more videos, but they had him, the military had him delete them from his phone. One day, 20 rockets hit our city. A lot of homes were destroyed. A 40-ton tank was just lifted off the ground. Homes destroyed. And people ran to the forests. Burned out vehicles. A lot of ruined equipment. And we began to wear protective gear as we delivered aid. And we organized the men in our church to help civilians and military alike. We helped the military. We filled our vehicles with Bibles and food. And we understood we needed to share the gospel with people. And you know, when I would preach and say, you know, your life could end at any moment, people believed me. In the past, they would not pay that much attention. But now they understood the reality that their life could end at any moment. And we understood the most valuable thing is the soul of a person. And we would witness everywhere and share the gospel at every point. We made packets of aid we would bring to people who were bound, elderly and disabled people who couldn't leave their homes. You can see my little helper there. His father is fighting in the war, and he and his mom stayed in Desna, and they were helping us. This is a family that lives in Chernigov. and the city was bombed. And they decided to stay. They said, no, let's go down into the basement. And as soon as they got down in the basement, a bomb hit their house. And somehow they got out from the ruins in light clothing. It was snow on the ground. It was cold. Their house is on fire. And so people were yelling, I got to get out of here. So they ran in the field nearby with their two children. They put the kids on the ground, covered them with their bodies. And they laid there till morning, until the bombing stopped. And there's a lady in our church who helps people with music. When they began to bomb Desna, her 7-year-old son cried out during the bombing, why are they doing this? I so want to live. I want to stay alive. And God began to open doors of opportunity as we delivered aid. And even during the war, we were able to have a lot of camps for children. We served in orphanages. And we did everything to help people hear the gospel. And an American once gave me this Rubik's Cube. And I learned how to use that Rubik's Cube to share the gospel with children. And so God enabled us to serve Him. We handed out Bibles. And the military actually gave us medals. I told Brother Sam, next time I come to America, I'll wear these medals like I'm a veteran. And you know, the most important thing is the soul of a person. And you know, I described to you how people, how children looked, the look in their eyes when they understood there was war. And my son, during this time, decided to get baptized. We baptized many people during that time. And God, in all this, is blessing our ministry. And God is giving us opportunities to serve Him. And I saw two things during this time of war. One is that God is good to us. And I also saw His promise and His hope in His bless the church. And this, the church, the bride of Christ, during these awful moments, shines so brightly with her goodness, her love. That which she brings in service to God. And that the gospel is needed by people. And so we're thankful to all who have prayed and supported for us. Because no matter where we are in Ukraine, you know how we greet one another. And then throughout the Christian world, and we realize that the entire Christian world is praying for us. And therefore, God is answering and hearing these prayers. Praise God for everything. Amen. When you go to Ukraine, it's really a heartbreaking experience. It really breaks your heart. There's just sadness, terror, despair everywhere, with one exception: when you get together with God's people. There's joy. There's happiness. They are in a completely different world than the lost people all around. And why can they be happy while the rest of their countrymen are so sad? Well, the answer is in Hebrews 11. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to be very brief. There's verses here that you know very well that give us the answer. And you could probably, some of you could probably quote these. But as I read them, you try to imagine the extra special blessing these verses would be to somebody who's in Ukraine now as a Christian. These all died in faith and having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Dear friends, it's a wonderful privilege to be a citizen of America. It really is. I know we've got problems, but still, there's so many blessings. I remember, I wasn't born here. I remember what it was like to come to America, and just the thrill of it. It was just overwhelming. When we arrived in America, we just lived in the slum for years. And nevertheless, there was such optimism, such a feeling of relief. And the neighborhood we lived in, everything was run down and dilapidated except for one house. It was a beautiful white house. It had a lawn. It had flowers in front of it. And it really stood out in the community. And we didn't have a car for years, always walked past this white house. And every time we did, my mom would say this. She said, "Someday, by the grace of God, I'd like to live in that house, or one just like it." Well, she said that hundreds of times until we learned enough English to read the sign on the house. It said funeral home. So she stopped saying that. We got Americanized, as you can tell, and God blessed us beyond our wildest imaginations. And friend, as we consider this, there's just three questions I want to ask you. One, are you a citizen of heaven? It's great to be an American citizen. Calvin Coolidge said it's the greatest political privilege God ever gave mankind. And you and I hear of stories of people who risk their lives, give their lives, just throw themselves in the ocean on a raft, hoping that they would wash ashore on America. But as great as it is to be an American citizen, it's not enough. Because one day, friend, you and I are going to stand before God. And for the first time, our American citizenship will be of no value. None of all. The question then will be, are you a citizen of heaven? And friend, if you can't answer yes, you came to no better place than where you are this morning, because there's people in this church who would love nothing better than to show you out of the Word of God how you can be born again, how you can have salvation. And that's why the Bible's written. We're told there that these things are written that you might believe on the name of the Son of God, and believing, know that you have eternal life. Not wish, hope, or think, but know. And so, friends, are you a citizen of heaven? The second question, which citizenship is the most important? Well, that's an easy question. We all answer, of course, the one in heaven that's eternal. But that's an easy question. Let's go on to the third question. And that is a hard question. Which citizenship do we value the most? Now, that might not sound like a hard question, but it's a very difficult question. And I'll tell you why. Listen to that question again, and friends, it's difficult because we cannot answer that with our lips. Which citizenship do we value the most? We answer that with our lives. How we live them. How we spend our time, our talents, our energy, our resources. Are we all wrapped up in the things of here and now? Are we all caught up in all the things of the world? Or is there room in our hearts for the eternal souls of those around us? Is there room in our schedules? Is there room in our pocketbooks to help the lost hear of Christ? Friends, we answer that question how we live our lives. Many years ago, General William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, was very ill. It became apparent that for the first time in their history, they would have to have their annual convention without the presence of their founder and leader. The day came, large auditorium, hundreds of delegates seated. There's a rumor that General Booth was going to send a telegram to greet the delegates. The day came, moderator opened the convention, and just as he did, there came a messenger with a telegram from General Booth. The moderator opened it and he read it. Here's what it said. Dear delegates, others, signed General Booth. A one-word message. Others, that was it. But a message doesn't have to be long to strike home. And friend, isn't that the heart of the gospel? Others? Isn't that why the Brentwood Baptist Church is here? Isn't it the reason why God saved you is for others? The poet wrote, Lord, help me today to live day from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to prayer, my prayer shall be others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let me live for others so that I might live like thee. Not long after that convention, General Booth died. Ironically, the same time he died, one of the wealthiest women in all of Europe died. She was known as the world's best-dressed woman. And after her death, the executors of her estate went through a room full of thousands of gowns and dresses and purses and shoes, a jewelry collection worth millions. And about the same time, somebody was going through General Booth's closet. You know what they found? One well-worn suit and two pairs of shoes. That was it. A lot of people would say, oh, poor General Booth, he died a poor man. But those of us that believe the Bible, we realize he was actually a very wealthy man. For what did Jesus say? He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And friends, which citizenship do we value the most? We have this life to earn the glories and the riches and the rewards that will last eternity. And I want to close with a verse in one of the next chapters of Hebrews, and this speaks to the point. It says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come.